Welcome to Up on Taconic, a podcast series that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I am your host, Jack.
And I'm your co-host, Brendan. Today we have some news from the Berkshire Eagle and an insight on the Western Mass Hockey Championship and much more.
But first, the news.
Over the next few months, BCC will be hosting several FAFSA completion workshops. If you need help completing the form, the remaining workshops will be on March 12th from 9 to 11 and April 11th from 2 to 4. You can register for these sessions on the BCC website.
Taconic will be getting a new track. The renovations will begin either this spring or this summer. There will be more news to come.
Last week, our hockey team won the Western Mass Championship. To tell us more, we have Cody and Liren.
Hello, my name is Cody, and I'm talking with my good friend Liren.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about last Saturday about the Western Massachusetts hockey game. We have some interesting facts and much more. So let's get right into it.
Hi, Cody. So did you hear about the game, the hockey game last Saturday?
Yeah, I did hear about the game. And I believe we won, didn't we?
Yes, we did win, but it wasn't an easy match. For most of the game, we weren't winning the game until we made a comeback near the end.
Yeah, that was the best part of the game. But Wild Ludlows did put up a good fight, in my opinion. They built a 2-0 lead with 7:45 still to play in the second period. That was all the Lions got, even with the benefit of two separate third-period power plays. Ludlow couldn't get back on the board.
After giving up the eternal lead, the Taconic controlled much of the third period despite giving up its only two power plays. Wow, that's crazy to me. And the Thunder outshot Ludlow 8-3 in the third period in OT. It was a close game. Then Bishop was able to score in the last couple of minutes. But that's what makes it entertaining. Am I right, Cody?
Yes, indeed. And while we were only had a few minutes left, I'm still shocked we were able to win, even though we were losing most of the game.
We weren't so lucky when we had to go against Sandwich in the state tournament due to us losing, which we are out for the rest of the year. But maybe next year, we are going to have a better chance at winning next year.
Congratulations, Taconic, to our team. Did a great job this season. Well, that's all the time we have. And also, you can watch Taconic TV. And now, back to Jack and Brendan.
Thanks, guys. In partnership with the Berkshire Eagle, Matt has a few stories from the past week.
Thanks, guys. Let's get right into it. According to the Pittsfield Police Department, a portion of West Street was closed Tuesday morning as the Pittsfield Fire Department worked to put out a residential structure fire. Police alerted the residents of the road closure during the situation. First responders were on the scene for hours, with the final firefighters clearing out around noon. 7 weeks after the project started, five of Vineyard Wind's offshore turbines are now generating enough power for 30,000 Massachusetts homes. Project developers have said they expected the total amount of turbines to be running at some yet-to-be-determined point this year, eventually generating 806 megawatts of clean energy that would be enough to power more than 400,000 Bay State homes and businesses. For more news outside from outside Taconic, go to berkshireeagle.com. Now back to the studio.
Next up, we have Ms. Zucker and a few members of JBOP.
Hi, this is Ms. Zucker, a math teacher at Taconic and also advisor of JBOP. My pronouns are she, her. If you don't know what JBOP is, it stands for just a bunch of people. It's Taconic's Gender Sexuality Alliance. Some people know that there's a week in February that celebrates aromantic spectrum awareness. And I'm here with two Taconic students, 11th grader Zoe, who uses she, her pronouns, and...
And I'm Zenon. I'm in 11th grade also, and I use they, them pronouns.
Thanks for joining me. The first question I wanted to ask both of you is, how does one know if they're aromantic?
Well, I'm on the asexual spectrum, so I can't give a lot of insight on this, but as an asexual person, asexuality is when you feel little to no sexual attraction or want to do anything like that. So how I kind of knew was around late middle school, a lot of people were talking about that kind of stuff, and I didn't feel super comfortable in that. And I kind of blew it off as like a regular thing to feel uncomfortable about that because it's kind of gross. But going into high school, I still felt those feelings. So I guess for me, it was if it's prolonged and the feelings still stay, no matter any kind of conversations that you have with people or anything that you hear, as long as it keeps going, then I think it's kind of a big sign that you might be either on the aro spectrum or ace spectrum.
Thank you.
Yeah, I figured out I don't have much of a romantic attraction to anyone, which is aromantic.
Thank you. What do you think romantic attraction does feel like?
From what I've heard, some people say it feels like butterflies in their stomach, like they're going to throw up or they're getting lightheaded.
Well, it kind of differs for different people. I'm sure both of you know the love languages. So I guess feeling romantic attraction, romantic feelings for someone is like the butterflies, like the kind of swooning feeling that you see in a lot of movies. And I think that can differ for a lot of people and come out of different people in different ways, either through gifts or romantic gestures, words, things like that. So I guess if it's also, from what I've seen, it's also a very prolonged feeling that if you have feelings for someone, if you have a crush on someone, it's not usually like a one-time thing and then it's over. It kind of builds up over time and you can't stop thinking about that person, or you see that person in different things, or you want to impress that person some way, make that person notice you, things like that. So, so I guess it's just different for different people.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's different, and it's good that we all get to, you know, have that space where we can be ourselves. What is the difference between aromantic versus asexual?
Well, from what I understand, the difference is romantic feelings and sexual feelings.
Yeah, as I've said earlier, asexuality is when you feel little to no sexual attraction to anyone, for anyone. So you don't get any of those feelings or want to do and act in any way. And so I'm sure it's the same for aromanticism, where you feel little to no attraction, romantic attraction to anyone.
Thank you. So can this change? Can somebody who is in a romantic relationship end up later on feeling like they're aromantic?
I think totally, yeah. I think that's with everything in the LGBTQ+ community, in the queer community. You can be in a relationship. You can be in a straight-passing, heteronormative relationship and figure out that you have more of attraction to women or men or non-binary people, gender non-conforming people. So it's all about figuring it out on your own and kind of looking inward and seeing, kind of checking with yourself, am I still feeling these feelings? Or even experimenting is awesome when you can just find out and go through, you could go through the entire LGBTQ community and just see what kind of sparks you and what feels best for you. Yeah, I think that's my answer for that.
There always seems to be a lot going on, and new sexual orientations, genders, they all seem to be popping up a lot now.
So kind of the my simple answer, I guess, is you can feel romantic attraction in the beginning. Maybe it's not like your definition of romantic attraction, but you can still be aromantic. Like, that's why I said little to no romantic or sexual attraction. There can still be that attraction. It just might not be as robust as a lot of people might feel.
I like what you've said there about, you know, somebody searching within and experimenting, and the fact that there are new kind of like names to give people a sense of identity and like who they fit in with. And to know that, like what you said, that within the queer community, sexuality, gender is fluid. Like anybody at any time can change their gender, sexuality, pronouns to feel more confident at who they are in that moment. Can aromantic people enjoy things viewed as romantic?
Yeah, I would hope so. Like I said before, again, with the love languages, it can come in different forms. So, yeah, I think if you wanted to do romantic gestures, if your partner likes that, if you want to appreciate your partner in that kind of way, then sure, go for it. If you want to do romantic things, even being aromantic, that doesn't make you less aromantic. Or if you want to do different things and you're ace, then yeah, you can still do it. It doesn't mean that you're less ace or that you're not, you're still valid for it. Yeah.
So what I understand from what you're saying is that although there are these different categories, like that people can identify these different names of things, everybody gets to decide for themselves that they're that thing, and every person gets to decide what they're comfortable with and how they want to express themselves. I like what you said about love languages. Before we end for today, can you just tell us a little bit more about what you mean about love languages?
Yeah, I don't know that much about it, but love can come in very different ways. And so there's a list of love languages. I can only remember a few, but some of them are romantic gestures, gifts, and I think those are the only ones that I remember.
That's
but
okay.
There might be like 5 or 7 of them, but they can range from totally different things. So it's whatever works for different people. It can be, you can have 2 different love languages, you can have 5 different love languages, you can have all the love languages. So whatever speaks to you, I guess.
And with all these names, doesn't necessarily mean you have to just go with one.
Right.
You can go with any.
Mm-hmm. Or none. You don't have to have any love languages either.
I'm hearing a lot in what you say about individual choice, comfort, and consent.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Well, thanks a lot for joining me today about this interview to help people learn more about the ARO and ACE spectrum. Is there anything else you want to add?
Do your research. Researching is a big thing. And just go out into the world, experiment, talk to different people of different kinds, and explore.
Awesome.
Everyone in the community always seems to be open to help and let you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for seeing that. And yeah, if anybody wanted some more support, JBOP meets after school on Thursdays in Ms. Zucker's room, that's C328. We're joined by guests from the Elizabeth Freeman Center, Sebastian and Zenef. And there's also resources in the community, including Berkshire Pride, Elizabeth Freeman Center, and national organizations as well, including like GLSEN, PFLAG for parents that want supporting their children. All right. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we are joined by special guest, Anna Podachevska.
Hello.
So all three of us are a part of a recent production produced by Taconic Theater Department, and it's called Murder at the Pie Auction. Jack, you want to tell us a little bit what it's about?
Yeah, so Murder at the Pie Auction is a murder mystery dinner theater play. So I feel like that's the best way to describe it. Also, there's a fundraiser thing. I'll get to that in a minute. Basically, it's like a pretty normal murder mystery set around the setting of a pie auction. And the pie auction is actually, that's a real thing. There's a real pie auction going on to help fundraise for the theater department for our upcoming production of The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Last night was our opening night, and we had a couple very generous donations from people. And we have one more show tonight, but this was released on Monday, so it'll be 3 days from now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, for reference, this is, right now we're talking on Friday afternoon. So our first show was Thursday evening. Our last show is Friday evening. Yeah. Yeah. So, Anna, do you want to tell us more about what you do in the show?
Yeah. So I play an elderly woman named Eve, and she is a pie baker, and she has a lot of friends in the pie baking world and a lot of enemies in the pie baking world. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of fun antics with each other in this show.
Yeah. My character, his name is Guy Templeton, and he is a pie connoisseur of sorts. Mm-hmm. He judges the pies at the pie baking competition every year, but he might not do it as fair as one may want him to.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, what's your character up to?
My character is Rex Roberts. He's a famous actor of the stage and of the screen. And he ended up in the small town where the auction is taking place on accident. And so he's almost like a stand-in for the audience because he's learning about all these people and their complex relationships along with the audience.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's a really great, it's a really funny show.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you should come on down and see it, but it will have already happened, but...
I'd like to share one of my favorite jokes from the show, if that's so, because it's already going to happen. So spoilers. But so what happens is someone accuses someone else of being a snake in like this like backstabbing sense, and then Jack's character asks them,
"Is
are
that
you
true?"
Yeah, and this character, our friend Lola, plays this character, and she says, "I'm not a snake." And I don't think anyone else found this line as funny as I did, but I could not stop laughing every single time it was mentioned. It was just so funny to me.
Yes. There are a lot of great jokes in this show. It's definitely a comedy, which is...
A lot of jokes, a lot of puns.
A lot of pie puns. It's just a dessert. It's a pie double entendre as well.
Yes. There's... so my character's an actor, and he mentions... some of the classic roles he's done, and another one of the characters mentions, well, you know, a role is also a pastry.
That's a good one. It didn't get many laughs, but it really should have.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you'll get more laughs tonight.
Hopefully.
And so another cool thing about this production is that the whole event is in culinary. So the audience, they're around the tables in culinary, and the play happens around them. So it's a very immersive type of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's in the Epicurean room, which is where culinary has their dining room, it's dinner theater, so they are actually served dinner, and they're eating during the show, and that's a very unique thing, and that really shows how all the different programs here at Taconic can really meld together and work together to produce something really cool and creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving on from Murder at the Pie Auction, we have a show that's coming up that happens after this airs, so if you'd still like to come, you can still get your tickets, because we have Mr. Taconic competition happening on Thursday, March 7th at 7 p.m. in the Taconic Auditorium, and tickets are $10. Anna, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, so Mr. Taconic is a satirical take on your classic beauty pageant, and we will have a couple senior boys participating, and they will be competing in a talent competition. They're going to be dancing, public speaking, and we will have some of the staff here at Taconic judging them and seeing who gets crowned Mr. Taconic.
Mm-hmm. There are the numbers change a little bit. There are 8 boys.
Yes, there are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're one of them.
You are
right?
One of them.
I am one of them. Yes, I am competing this year. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give us any hints on what your talent might be?
Not really. I mean, my talent is, I'm a very musical person, and it has something to do with that. That's what I'll say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of our contestants are being quite secretive with their talents, so it's definitely not something you're going to want to miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tickets are, $10, and it will be at the Taconic Auditorium, on Thursday, March 7th. At 7 p.m. So, yeah. But that'll do it for this week on Up on Taconic. We would like to thank our listeners on WTBR 89.7 FM and for streaming our podcast on sites like Spotify and CastBox. For more about what's going on here at Taconic, you should take a look at our weekly TV show, The Thunder Report.
This show comes out every Friday and is available at youtube.com/TaconicTV. Feel free to reach out to us at taconictv@pittsfield.net for any questions or comments. We hope you'll join us again soon, and we'll see you next time on Up on Taconic.
Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The show is produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in March 2024.